It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Forgot what it was like to have to cope with a Twins loss. It's like my emotions were short-circuiting yesterday. They literally hadn't lost in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, just very selfishly, I'm not glad they lost, but if I had showed up back to the ballpark today after not being able to be there this last week because of my bachelor party and they did lose, I would feel guilty. I'd feel guilty that I jinxed it. Yeah.
You know, that's part of it. Like, my wife and I were maybe getting, it was very nice yesterday. We were going to maybe scope some tickets and just go roam around. And she said, but what if we go and they lose? Are we going to feel like we are the jinx? You're right about that, honey. Let's wait till they lose. And then the crowd will thin again. So people will sell their stock. So here's the overview. Our State of the Twins episodes here on Monday. Trevor Plouffe Tuesday tomorrow. 19-4 record. Twins are tied for second place in the American League Central, 2.5 games behind the Guardians. At one point, they were like 8 back, so they've covered the ground now, and they've jumped up to second just a couple games out. 11th in runs scored per game offensively. 14th in runs allowed per game as a pitching staff and fielders. The Twins have an 80% chance to make the playoffs, according to baseballreference.com, and a 6% chance to win the whole bleeping thing. So you guys fill in the blank here. We'll go through our State of the Twins questions. Twins vibes are blank right now.
I'm just going to use great. I think the vibes are still great because they obviously, even though they lost yesterday, a lot of things are still really working for the Twins. I do have a little bit of concerns that we'll get to with my least favorite thing that is happening with this team. But look, so many different guys had stepped up. I know Royce wrote a great column, I believe, over the weekend kind of talking about this. Of when you win 12 in a row, it's not just, you know, Carlos Correa going off and Pablo Lopez or Joe Ryan carrying you. It's random things like Willie Castro having 1,000 OPS over that stretch, right? Mm-hmm. Carlos Santana coming up. So the vibes are great after a mostly disastrous start where they only won 6 of their first, 18 games. I think the vibes are now great. And this division is competitive, which actually I appreciate instead of it just being a cakewalk where you're moonwalking your way into the division title. I still think despite even though the rally sausage going in the trash and maybe a new sausage coming out, stay tuned, maybe some extra innings content on that. I think the vibes are still great.
I think the team picture after each win is now the thing. I think they have found a more sanitary way to celebrate with that picture.
The Polaroids.
And they went and got a real camera Vasquez went and bought a real one. So
it's like a real, it's
too.
A Polaroid though, right?
Yeah, it's an old school Polaroid camera, but I mean, and you know, I mean, that's a real step. I think the first one that they did was a fake one. I think they did just a fake one, okay. And then they have now perfected it.
So the Duran picture is the first one that's the real one,
I think it's the
one,
first
right?
Polaroid. Yeah, yeah. I want to say, was it the last, was it the first win against, no, it was the last win, I think, that they had against the White Sox in Chicago. I want to say I saw them doing a fake picture, yeah. And I think they've now taken that to a Polaroid, which is great. I would say that the vibes are normalized. Which is, you got off to a terrible start, and you're like, oh my God, the season could be going down the drain, and it's April. And now you've come back, and you won a series against a team that has lots of guys out, but so do you in some cases. So I would say now, you're sort of starting from opening day-ish, right? You're right in the race, you're not buried, you've certainly got a chance, you're playing well, but more importantly, you have now really, for the most part, completely offset that terrible start. I would call it normalized.
You know, I'm going to stick with the word. We're very close. I'm not going to move off the word that I wrote down just because Judd has a close word. I have stabilized. The vibes have stabilized. This is exactly where you thought you would probably be after the first like month and a week. This is, what are we, like 6 weeks, I guess, into the season?
Yep.
Said, yeah, hopefully there'll be like a handful of games over 500. We obviously didn't know that Royce Lewis was going to be out for basically the entire first chunk of the season again. And I mean, you could have probably assumed a couple of these guys with injury histories may have been dinged. But when you start to look up and down, I've used the word loaded to describe this team and have gotten some pushback from Twins fans. I'm not saying they are the best roster in baseball, but I do believe that this team is pretty loaded. They've got some great arms at the back end of their bullpen. They've got a couple big-time power strikeout pitchers at the top of their rotation. They've got one of the best shortstops in baseball. They've got maybe the – is it fair to say Ryan Jeffers is like one of the top three to five hitting catchers in baseball?
Easily.
I mean, the guy is just a machine. And then some of the young players that aren't even household names outside of the Minneapolis area, Edward Julian is off to a fantastic start with a well-above-average OPS. And the start that Max Kepler and – Alex Kirilloff are off to. So, I mean, Trevor Larnach, hell, the guy has gotten off to a career start this season too. They have a lot of things in this lineup, and the rough start made you start to think twice and wobble a little bit. But now that we're 6 weeks in, this is about where you thought they would be. They would be a handful of games over 500, competing to win 90-ish games, probably still in need of another starting pitcher at the trade deadline, and need to get Royce Lewis back and healthy. Okay, what is your favorite current thing about the Twins, Declan?
The starting pitching is starting to show, I think, more positive and more reliable signs. Starting pitching as a whole, everything here. Pablo Lopez, I know there was some concern there. Even I probably voiced it probably more than anyone else. I think something's not right here. He goes out and has a great start. His last time out on Pablo Day on Saturday. Joe Ryan's obviously been still very effective. Bailey Ober has taken a big step. I think Chris Paddock, who I thought was a pretty big question mark, if Chris Paddock is just the fourth guy in your rotation and he gives you a chance to win, I think that's all you really can ask for. Like, the organization looked at him as someone that, like, oh, we were really excited what we saw at the end of last year in the bullpen, and he's going to be a big asset for us. I don't know if he'll ever reach that full ceiling of maybe what they think Chris Paddock is, but if they just are realist about who Chris Paddock is, that's pretty solid. And Simeon Woods Richardson, look, he might be just trying to hold down this spot in his rotation, and he might be kind of not pitching for his roster spot every time he's out there, but he has shown flashes. That's pretty good. And his breaking ball stuff, I thought was really good two starts ago and in the last home series where I was able to chat with him. So I think the starting pitching, which was a major question, and I do think will be addressed at the trade deadline. My favorite thing is the starting pitching, because it has given them a chance to win. I think to Phil's point, if you were to tell us, hey, by May 6th, if right before the season started, by May 6th, they're going to be five games over 500. Would you take that? Or would you take door number two? I think we would all just take the safe bet that, hey, five games over 500 would have been a successful start. So my favorite thing, the starting pitching, I think, has actually exceeded a little bit of expectations. I still want them to address it, but some very positive signs from that department.
I'm going to go off the grid here because I'm going to take something that's off the field, but it is incredibly important. And my favorite thing is the handling of Byron Buxton. So Buxton, until he went on the IL, I believe it was on Friday, was being played in center field a ton, was being used as a normal player. They were not, I mean, he got some off days, but he was not being coddled. And he was not being treated like he was a special case. He came in with right knee pain after he left the White Sox game in Chicago. And you know what? This is his career now. He's going to have right knee pain. It might not end his career. It eventually probably will, but he's going to have this for the rest of his career. There's no avoiding it. You can't just remove a flap and suddenly magically it's done. Okay. But here is Rocco's
quote. Can we ban the word flap, actually?
It's a flap in the knee. Well, tissue. You can't remove a piece of tissue. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay, you can't remove a piece of tissue, and that is suddenly a miracle cure. But here was Rocco's comment when asked about the usage of Buxton upon his return. You can't tippy-toe around the game. You have to play the game. And Buxton had appeared in 28 of the previous 30, including 24 in the field. When you have a guy with a chronic problem, this is the way to do it. He is never going to achieve what we hoped. He's never going to be the player that we once thought. But you know what he did do? And I give him a ton of credit here. For all he might not have done at the plate, when he plays in the outfield, he still went and got balls that a lot of guys don't get. Mm-hmm. Now, does he get to every ball he probably used to? No. Does he get to a lot more than the average player? Absolutely. So I'm going to applaud. I think, for as frustrated as it grew with how they sort of tried to coddle him before, and he can do this and he can't do that. And it's like, just turn him loose until it's done. He is the equivalent, gentlemen, of a running back in football. And I hate to say it, but both parties have to be involved in this decision. You're going to go till it's done. You're not going to try and extend it. So he is going to hit a huge cliff at some point, and that will be his career. But until then, get what you can from him. And that's what both sides were doing. And I applaud that. I think it's a smart move.
I think on one hand, you would look at the first 6 weeks and say, holy cow, the Twins are 500 without Royce Lewis and with Byron Buxton really not clicking at the plate yet. You know, he's got like one home run.
Correct.
And playing, like you said, like serviceable defense in center field. He's not the same guy he was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still a very good ranging fielder. But you're getting Buxton's in the lineup, but he hasn't really clicked offensively, and Royce is out. And the other way you could look at it is, well, but those guys both have major checkered injury histories and are showing again that they're just not reliable staying in the lineup and staying active on the 26-man roster. I tend to look at it more as I think they're going to get something from Royce. If he comes back and gives you 3 or 4 months like he did last year,
yeah,
and you're adding it to a team that's like,
yes, agreed,
already in the playoff race.
Yes.
And Buxton too, I don't think any of us realistically expect that he wouldn't hit the injured list at some point. The question is this going to derail his entire season, or is he just going to need a breather for a couple weeks? Inflammation goes down, right, and he's going to be fine for 2 more months.
Right. And I see Royce and Buxton very differently. Like Royce, it's frustrating, but I don't think his career's in peril here. And I do think that there is still a chance where he is where this unfortunate streak of injuries is going to just end. Mm-hmm. With Buxton, it's a chronic problem.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So I guess what I'm in getting what you can from Buxton while you can. With Royce, I have a lot of hope that this could, that he could still have a fantastic career.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll give you my favorite thing. And it's Cole Sands as a microcosm for the bullpen. Mm-hmm. So Cole Sands is just like a name on a 40-man roster for the most part that people looked at like, well, if all the relievers are healthy, I mean, Cole Sands is going to be with the St. Paul Saints. And he's a former fifth-round pick out of Florida State from like 5 or 6 years ago. Kind of, he was good as a starter in the lower levels of the minor leagues, but once he got up to like AAA, he had the one mostly full season at AAA a couple years ago where he had a 5.55 ERA as a starter. Command has been a question at times with him, putting a lot of guys on base. Well, the Twins moved him full-time to the bullpen last year at both AAA and when he was with the Twins for a while. And the strikeout rate starts to spike and the numbers start to look a little better. Cole Sands, 26 years old, 13 strikeouts per nine innings so far this year for the Twins, a 2.93 ERA, a 2.96 fielding independent pitching, which is like your expected ERA. It shows that it's not a fluke that he has an ERA under three. And they've even trusted him to close out a couple of games so far in the first 5 or 6 weeks. I don't think what we're seeing from Cole Sands is a fluke as a reliever. And it's just another big time strikeout arm that you can run out there in the later innings to, you know, to give this bullpen some versatility. So bravo to Cole Sands for emerging as a legitimate arm out of the Twins bullpen.
And there's even been discussion of, all right, so if Simeon's with Richardson doesn't work out and you need a fifth starter, can you then restretch Cole Sands to build him back up as a starter? That is a possibility. The problem is you can't really flip that switch overnight. So like if Cole Sands had to start today, you're only going to get the one, or he's going to be an opener, you know, back what they used to do 5 or 6 years ago. But I think this guy's excellent in the bullpen. And just kind of like similar with Louis Varland, I know they're still trying him out as a starter and he should still be stretched out as a starter. But if there's something here with Cole Sands being an elite reliever, just make him an elite reliever. You don't have to then go back to the drawing board because he used to be a starter that, well, we need someone to do it.
Yep.
If this guy is an elite reliever, just stick him right there. Stick him where he's supposed to be. He's been phenomenal in the bullpen.
Yeah, between him, Griffin Jacks is off to a great start for the most part. And then obviously Duran, if he can stay healthy, is one of the most untouchable relievers in the entire game. You've got some dudes here. Now, Brock Stewart's back on the injured list, which is unfortunate. Cole Sands is a guy that I kind of dismissed there for the preseason process and last year, but I don't think what you're seeing is a fluke from him. If he was getting a bunch of guys out and it was just contact oriented stuff, it was like batted ball luck, I'd say, he's probably going to regress. No, he's doing it. Like, he has the highest strikeout rate of any reliever on the team, not named Duran. So Cole Sands.
Nice.
Okay. Before we get to our least favorite thing about the Twins on our State of the Twins episode, a shout out to our friends over at Dennis Kirk. Here for riding season with over 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories for motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes, even looking ahead to snowmobile season again in like 6 or 7 months. They've got all the top brands with the most stock available for all brands compared to their closest competitors. Same day shipping and free shipping on orders over $89. Financing plans available. If you like to ride, if you like to get out on that bike, on that ATV, go to DennisKirk.com. And a shout out to the official, exclusive personal injury law firm of the Score North Twin Show. That would be Nicolet Law, which is very proud to serve the local Twin Cities community here. They're just your normal everyday folks, the ones you see at the ballpark, at the gas station, walking the dog. They're just normal folks who happen to have law degrees to help you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. So if you've been injured, get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolet, NicoletLaw.com, or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. Okay, your least favorite current Twins thing, Dex.
All right, so my least favorite thing actually stems from yesterday, and I don't want to contradict myself here because I know it could sound like I am. But so basically the only arms that were available in the bullpen yesterday were Cody Funderburk, who has been really struggling and basically lost his spot in the bullpen, then got brought right back because of the Brock Stewart injury, and Jay Jackson. Now, in the chunk of pie, the pie chart of blame of why they lost that game, the biggest chunk does go to the offense for not driving in runs with runners in scoring position. That's true. But basically yesterday, the only arms that were available behind Joe Ryan in a game that's going shorter and shorter and shorter were Cody Funderburk and Jay Jackson. So even if the Twins were able to hold on to that game, those are going to be your only two guys that are going to have to help you bridge the gap to end the game. And I get it because I actually appreciate Rocco bringing, I think he brought Duran in the eighth on Saturday, or did he bring him in on,
Saturday.
Saturday, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And I like that you're going to use your highest leverage reliever in a non-traditional ninth inning save situation, because if you need outs right now,
it was like the 3, 4, 5 spots in the lineup, yeah. If I remember right. It's like, bring him in, yeah.
So I like that. I like how they go about that. But then also, because of the injuries to Brock Stewart, because Griffin Jack's pitch, because Duran pitch, because Cole Sands pitch, you had two available relievers yesterday to try to bridge the gap there. So, yes, the offense wasn't able to do it, but I think just managing this bullpen as a whole, it's going to be sometimes a little bit of a pickle. They're going to get Justin Topa back, who has been rehabbing for quite a while. I'd like to dig out a little bit more of when they're actually going to activate him at this point, because he's been down there for a bit. But in general, managing that bullpen a little bit better for situations like yesterday, where if it was a one-run game, I mean, it was going to be a tight rope with Cody Funderburk and Jay Jackson trying to close it out.
Yeah, there's always like reasons for it's managing a bullpen is really hard. Yes. It's the thing. I feel like it's the thing that people criticize managers for the most, because it's like right in front of you. Like, why would you? And it's always second guessing too. In a lot of cases, why did they do this or why won't they do this? But you're also trying to plan for short term, long term. I think for the most part, Rocco's done a really good job. And the fact that he's willing to bring Duran in non-typical save situations, like, that shows great flexibility by a front office and Rocco just in terms of open-minded thinking. But then sometimes, like Declan said, you run into a jam where, based on the schedule and usage, you are depleted. And listen, if they're going to lose a Sunday game once in a while, like at the end of a long winning streak,
win series.
Yep. And they won the series.
That's my thing
now.
Win series.
Okay, Joe, what's your least favorite Twins thing right now?
Well, it is it's the performance of one Manuel Margot so far. And it's not just the performance, it's how it looks. I know the ball was in the sun, or at least I was told that by Dan Glenn on CCO, because the Twins aren't on my TV. But I did listen to both games, because I'm very capable of going old school, but he lost the ball in the sun, which to Declan's point about the bullpen, then adds runs, because he lost the ball in the sun. It's a double, so it goes against earned runs, but it's a ball that he should catch. In 28 games, he's slashing 172, 258, 241. Do the math on that OPS, and it's not pretty. It's one home run, 3 RBIs. My point is, I expected more. He doesn't play every day, so I'm not saying DFA him, but I'm disappointed. I was hoping that they would bring in an outfielder who would fill a role a bit more. I guess I thought he could play some center when Buxton got hurt, but he's really still not. In the corner outfield spots, he came in with a reputation, at least until about a year ago, of having been pretty solid out there. As far as I can tell, he has not. So I'm just disappointed there, because I don't see the upside. And I think the disintegration of his career, which had started, might be continuing in Minnesota.
It's bad. It's really bad. I thought he was going to be better than this too. And you know, we're still only 6 weeks in, right? And there is still time to turn your season around. But to this point, of all the Twins position players, Manuel Margot is dead last in wins above replacement. He's been worth minus 0.6 wins above replacement. Now, just for some context, and don't ask me how the sausage is made, pun intended, but there is a formula for wins above replacement that essentially defines replacement level as any readily available, competent AAA player that you would call up. So think about like the players like Trevor Larnach over his career is a guy that's like, a guy that you call up, and until this year, he hasn't really been gangbusters. You send him back down. So the Twins would have been better off basically by like a win so far or six wins over the course of a season if he keeps playing this poorly over the course of 6 months, with just a random guy from AAA taking his plate appearances and innings in the field.
I'll give you a guy. So Kyle Farmer's stats aren't good, right? But if you follow the team consistently, he does contribute things. He's a defensive replacement. He's gotten a few timely hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like you look at him and think, oh my God, what a ball player. But in the last 2 weeks or so since this team got hot, Kyle Farmer has made contributions. I would ask you, Manuel Margot, what's the last contribution as a follower of this team? What would you guys say as far as, oh, I remember this or I remember that? I mean, Farmer can go in as a replacement at third, at second. Like his purpose here at least makes some sense. Margot, not so much.
So this is where, and I am not a prospect hoarder and fall in love with prospects because I don't like going down that path. But this is why I was worried about trading a veteran for a first-round pick from 2 years ago, and that's what you gave up for Manuel Margot and Noah Miller. Now, Noah Miller is at a advanced A-ball at the Dodgers. He's hitting .238, but he doesn't strike out. He walks a lot. He's got a little bit of pop. He's entering an organization that just craps out talent no matter who where it comes from. And this is where I had a little bit of fear of you're going to trade a guy who you made a pick in the first round just 2 years ago for what was going to be your fourth outfielder. And I was a little wary of that trade. And look, Noah Miller is a shortstop second baseman. The Twins have those two positions set for the next 5-6 years. They looked at it as probably a position of strength or a surplus where they could trade from. But if Noah Miller becomes the next Spencer Steer eventually, maybe like he is in Cincinnati, that's where I had a little bit of problems. I didn't like that trade to begin with, and it could rear its ugly head here in a few years.
I mean, I didn't hate the process of the trade because you're in a win-now window, and Manuel Margot is like 29 and in theory should help you as a fourth outfielder win now. And maybe he still does. He just hasn't yet in the first 6 weeks. So I don't hate the process. I think the question would be, should they have just signed Michael A. Taylor for $4 or $5 million? Well, the good news there is he's been terrible too for Pittsburgh. I mean, he signed a $4 million contract with the Pirates and he's played in 28 games. He has an OPS of 567. No home runs yet after hitting 21 last year in 129 games for the Twins.
Yep. Yep.
So now, do you trust Michael A. Taylor defensively a little bit more? Yes, you probably do. But if the options were trade for Manuel Margot or sign Michael A. Taylor, both of them have been absolutely garbage at the plate, and you're not really picking between any great options there.
The Margot thing that gets me the most is not the lack of production at the plate. I don't think he looks good in the outfield.
Yep, it's
that's what gets me.
It is definitely
need those plays
bad so far. Okay, Margot was definitely on my list of least favorite things, but I'm going to tell you this: my least favorite thing so far on the season, the sausage. I don't get it. I'm glad that it's probably done. I don't really get the whole sausage celebration thing. I think the Polaroid celebration, 100 times better. This whole keep a sausage. Summer sausage in the dugout, in the bag, tossing it to guys. Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But you can't like...
Weird, but that's what makes it fun.
But like the fishing jacket is fun and you put it on and like, you know, these teams that like the shopping cart thing that the Padres did or whoever it was. It's a sausage. Like, the Polaroid thing is fun because like you can have...
Oh, yeah.
It could be for home runs. It could be for wins.
I like that the sausage thing seems sort of like a minor league thing, though.
Yeah.
It's so organic and so like Bush League, but great Bush League. Like, it's fun.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're, and that's on my list of things.
There's more sausages
at extra innings.
What
is the next sausage? Because Rocco hinted that there'll probably be another one.
There's more sausage.
Regardless of not the ethics, but like the curiosity and fun level, I love that this team was in a horrible rut and found a goofy, unique thing to kind of bring them together. And I think that stuff is incredibly important. And if it's a damn summer sausage, I don't care. If it's a cup of coffee, doesn't matter. Find out something to get you guys out of this funk. And they were able to do that with a very interesting way of going about it in the sausage.
I liked it repulsed Baldelli.
Yes.
And a few players. Somebody tweeted on Saturday, I think, after Kepler homered. They threw it to him, and he let it drop.
Good for Kepler.
He wouldn't catch
it. I'm Team Max Kepler on this one.
He wouldn't catch it.
Guys, we got the Polaroid celebration. We can bring back the fishing jackets if we need to, okay? We don't need a sausage.
This is very Zolgadian, in my opinion.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
See, Zolgadian loves this. Yeah. Loves.
But how do fans get behind it? We can't bring sausage to the ballpark. You know, you can wear a fishing jacket. You can wave a Homer hanky.
You could do a sausage giveaway.
Oh yeah, and that's gonna happen.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah,
do a big sausage giveaway. Yeah, sponsors. Yeah. Sponsors were in on that. What was the deal with the Rocco light? So that red, that weird light.
Yeah.
It turned out that it was his light, like a therapy light. I didn't realize this. I saw it, and I'm like, why does he look like he's like in a drug induced room?
We have a great list for Declan getting back to the ballpark the red therapy light, the future of the sausage, is the Polaroid celebration. By the way, the Polaroid celebration too. Let's say you hit a double to the gap. You can like. Do the Polaroid, like the fake Polaroid thing, getting on second base.
Oh, if you do that,
like
next time I'm knocking you down. In fact, I'm going to hit you in the head with a baseball.
Cool, then I'm going to wear it, take a fake Polaroid, and walk my ass to first base. and like, do the fake selfie with the pitcher, the angry pitcher in the background.
And the first baseman.
Yeah.
Call timeout and just go behind first base.
Oh, my gosh. Any other final State of the Twins thoughts from you guys here before we say goodbye?
Not necessarily. I mean, I like that they're playing some tougher competition here. Seattle's playing well. The Dex plan, I guess, is a little bit ahead of schedule because you went two out of three, which is good. Yep. I'd like to see again those series wins next week, specifically against New York and Cleveland, just for morale. But so far, things are good, man. I'm glad that they're still winning games, and yeah, they have saved their season. But at the end of the day, from before opening day, if you were to be five games over 500, I think most Twins fans would have taken that. It's just a funny way of how you got there, going 6 of 18 and then winning 12 in a row.
Yeah. Four-game series against the M's starts tonight. You start with Luis Castillo on the mound for Seattle. You end with Logan Gilbert, 3-0. More importantly, 1.69 ERA. These guys are actually, their second in baseball to Boston as far as ERA for starters goes. This is going to be a good test. Jorge Polanco returns. So I looked it up. Jorge Polanco returns. 193, 314, 328, 5 home runs, 13 runs driven in, but
weird season for him.
He ain't tearing it up.
Well, he's showing some pop. He leads their team. He has 20 walks drawn, so he's definitely like taking some good at bats, but
and Mitch Garber,
that's right. Mitch Garber comes off. Back. Second time for him back here, right? He came back with Texas.
Yeah,
last
there
year.
Was those kind of weird comments last year, if you guys remember about that catcher that
about
took
Jeffers.
Job. Yeah,
he the catcher that took your job and is now one of the best.
Mitch thought he got stabbed in the back, huh?
Yeah,
it was
Mitch
weird.
Mitch is not a catcher.
Mitchy
DH. Right.
He's a DH. Seattle's designated.
How long is the Polanco tribute video tonight?
Over under 9.5 minutes.
Did you ever know that you were my hero?
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, would they do that in game or do it pregame?
I think they'll do a pregame and then they'll do an acknowledgement in the game.
Yeah,
he'll get a standing O when he comes.
Oh,
he'll
get a standing O when he gets to the plate. Yeah, that'll happen. That'll for sure happen.
Will Mitch Garver get a standing O?
He did get the bobblehead.
He He does have a bobblehead.
He does have a Twins bobblehead. Yep. Always remembered for that. It's a nice one, too.
All right, boys. Second one. Trevor Plouffe Tuesday tomorrow here on the Score North Twin Show. Declan with Extra Innings podcast throughout the week. Apple, Spotify, and the brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. Click that like button and the subscribe button if you haven't already. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.